The Holy Gospel is written in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the 22nd verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us, and we ask your blessing upon us as we worship you this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you like to have a seat? Well, Harvest Festival, don't we see what abundance we've got around us again? What are you thankful for? We have harvest time. Not many churches do harvest time anymore, not city churches anyway, but what are you thankful for?
All the blessings we have.
We have lots of blessings, don't we? Lots of blessings. I don't know, I'm thankful for somewhere to put my head when I look at earthquakes and see places without places to do that again. I'm thankful for the I don't know whether it's shrinking or not, but the freedom that we have to actually worship openly in our country. That's really, really good. I'm thankful for family and friends. And I wonder, what are you thankful for this harvest time? Because thankfulness is really important. And our psalm this morning describes all that it means to live with the Lord as our shepherd. So above all, I'm thankful that I have the Lord as my shepherd. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? To have somebody who you know is shepherding you and guiding you and can keep you out of trouble if you listen to his voice. And that's what Jesus is saying in the psalm, in the gospel this morning, isn't it? One watching over me, making sure that no matter what trouble I might get myself into, he will pull me away because no one can snatch me out of his hand or the Father's hand. That's the great power of this morning. Well, Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it's the festival of dedication. We know it as Hanukkah. And it usually happens near Christmas, which one of the clues for that is that you can notice that in the Gospel reading, John gives us the specific detail of it was winter. So Jesus might have been cold, do you think? Because Jesus is teaching in the temple, and we're told that he's sheltering in the porch. He's in Solomon's colonnade, and he's there teaching in the temple, as has been his practice while he's in Jerusalem. And the Jewish leaders think, oh, we've got him cornered. And so they pin him up against, I don't know if he's pinned against the wall, but they corner him in the temple porches, and they ask him a really clear question. If you are the Messiah, tell us, how long will you keep us in suspense? It's a question of great frustration, actually, isn't it? And they're frustrated because they're not happy, because they're not satisfied with the blessings God's given them. They're not satisfied with all that God has put in front of them. And actually, they're not satisfied because they're running to their own agendas. If you really are the Messiah, tell us. The footnote should also read, they don't want Jesus to be the Messiah, because they don't like what he's talking about. They're frustrated because they can't get him to say something that they can then take him out and kill him for. They're trying to pin Jesus to the wall for blasphemy, and they're frustrated. And so this on this occasion, they're trying to make him actually say something, provoke him to say something that will give them permission to have him stoned. The penalty for blasphemy was stoning. How long will you keep us in suspense? Come on, Lord. How long? When will you tell us? I have told you, and you do not believe. And I always think this is not just the voice of Jesus. This is the voice of God, isn't it? This is a voice of a parent who's equally frustrated. I've told you again and again and again, but you will not believe. You won't believe the miracles, the signs that I've been doing to point to who I am and to point in the direction of God. And you won't believe. And our faith, our belief is a choice, isn't it? We actually choose what we believe and we don't believe. And they don't want to believe because they have their own agenda. I'm guessing by the fact that you're here this morning, you're here because you've chosen to believe. And praise the Lord. That's a great thing. Because for those who don't believe, life continues to be difficult and frustrating. And here again in Jerusalem, Jesus is rejected by the Jewish authorities. You should, when you read the Jews in this passage, remember we are talking about the Jewish authorities. Not all of the Jews were rejecting Jesus. Many people were listening and following. So when it says the Jews here, and the footnote, all the scholars say, make sure that when they say the Jews here, when John says the Jews, he's talking particularly about those in authority, because Jesus is a challenge to their authority and the way of life. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and I follow them. How do you go with that this Harvest Festival time? Do you know the voice of God? Do you hear Jesus' voice? Do you hear him directing you in your life? Do you feel every now and then that nudge from his rod and his staff to push you back in line? Because those are the words of the psalm, isn't it? Jesus' favourite way of describing himself was as a shepherd. And I think the 23rd Psalm would have been powerful in Jesus' mind. And I won't presume to say what his favourite scripture was, but I'll bet this was up there. I don't know about you. Lots of people don't like the 23rd Psalm because they think it's a funeral psalm. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm about life. It's all about what it means to live with God as our shepherd, with the Lord as our shepherd. And good shepherds don't allow any of their flock to get taken away from them. They have their rod and their staff to fight off the bears and the wolves, and I think there was even lions in Israel at that point, and lions on the road, and their staves that'll hook them if they fall into bushes or down the hill and pull them back up to safety. Those are the shepherd's tools for looking after us. Do you sometimes feel that the Lord might be rebuking you and pulling you back into place? He does it to the disciples. Why wouldn't he do it to us? It's because we have a shepherd that doesn't want us to be snatched away from him. He will do everything he can to keep us in the fold. The choice we have to make is, will we listen to his voice? Will we listen to his voice? Psalm 23 is all about life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need, some of the other translations say. With the Lord as your shepherd, we have everything we need. I don't know about you, the catalogues that flood my house always show me things that I think I want. I don't need them. They're things that I think I want. But with the Lord as my shepherd, I have everything I need. I shan't be in want. If my life needs things, my shepherd provides them for me. And so he leads me to still waters and into green pastures. That's the image of a loving shepherd. Not to keep you stuck in a valley of shadows and death, but to pull you out to a place of safety, to green pastures and to still water, because sheep and surf don't mix. Jesus doesn't take the sheep to the beach because sheep and surf don't mix. Still clean water for them to drink on. Still waters. And when life gets difficult, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there's nothing to fear because Jesus is with us. And that's the power that the Pharisees and the Jewish authorities are not understanding when they fail to believe him. That's why they're not satisfied, because they don't know the voice of the shepherd. Out of the other side of the valley. Because notice the words are, you lead me through. It's not you leave me stuck in there. You lead me through, out and beyond. You prepare a table before me in the presence of your enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Jesus wants good things for us. That's his will for us. That's his will for us as sheep. That's what he calls us to this day, to be thankful, to live in his love, and to listen to his voice. Reassuring, encouraging words. But the choice we have to make is to listen to his voice and to take the advice he gave to Thomas. He said to Thomas, do not doubt, but to believe. To choose to believe in the one that God gave us to save us. Are you the Messiah? How long must we wait? They don't know because they don't hear and they don't see and they don't believe. What choice will we make? What choice do you make? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? Because those are great words. Because the alternative is horrifying. Well, it is for me anyway. Because to actually say the Lord is not my shepherd, to put that psalm into the negative, I think I told you this once before, it's a really disturbing thing. If you do the opposite of Psalm 23, the Lord is not my shepherd, I shall be in want. I don't have the things I need. You don't lead me beside green pastures and still waters. I've got to find that for myself. And when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I do it on my own. Can you imagine that journey without Jesus there to guide you? And there is no table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies without the Lord as our shepherd. Read that psalm in the negative. The choice that we make, the choice that the Jewish authorities, the choice that each of us must make, is will we accept the gift that God has put in front of them? How long must we wait? Will you tell us, are you the Messiah? I have told you, and you don't believe. It's almost like Jesus saying, hello, the gift of God is right in front of you, but you can't see it. Which begs the question, I wonder what gifts God has placed in front of us that we don't see. And what we need to do always is to be prayerful and to open our hearts and our ears and our minds to listen to his voice as he leads and guides us all the days of our life. And one thing is sure, that nothing can snatch us from his hands. That's a promise of Jesus's. We belong to his flock and nothing can snatch us from his hands. And he goes on to mention, not only nothing can snatch us from Jesus' hands, nothing can snatch us from the Father's hands, because Jesus and the Father are one. And I don't know what you think, but I'm really encouraged about that. That's powerful news. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for all the good things that you have placed in our lives, for the abundant blessing that is around us in this part of the world in which we are privileged to live. We thank you for food and shelter and clothing in abundance, for family and loved ones, neighbours and friends, for all those around us that make living our life so much better. We thank you for our brothers and sisters here, for our church family, and for all the blessing that through you we are able to bring to each other. Lord, we thank you that you are our shepherd. May we always hear your voice. May we live our lives with our hearts and minds firmly fixed in your love and in the assurance that nothing can snatch us away. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness will follow us all the days of our life, and that we are called to dwell in your house forever. In your name we pray. Amen.